Thank you, Dan, for those kind words, and I do appreciate it. I just wish I could live up to them. But my desire is to serve the Lord, as each of us is. And it has been impressed upon my mind for some time, and when Brother Dan asked me to speak this evening, this subject came very much to my mind. This being the time in which the world is rapidly coming to that day of judgment, which the Lord has said would come. We see it all about us. Iniquity of every kind. We now see greater disasters than natural. If we dare take such a definition as we have not seen before. And we see this horrendous hurricane that's forming on the East Coast, and sometime between now and tomorrow morning, it's supposed to make landfall in the area of New York City. There have been predictions that some of the high buildings of New York, skyscrapers, will receive damage. They don't know how much. This afternoon, we heard the final announcement that the tunnels and other underground passages have been closed or will be closed shortly tonight. I think the last one is at 9 o'clock tonight. And this morning we heard of one of the largest earthquakes to be had in North America. Hit British Columbia, 7 point something. I don't remember exactly what the point after was. A little over seven, which is a horrendous earthquake. Apparently, it was in a more or less isolated area where no damage was done. I haven't heard much of on yet. But we see these things as I monitor worldwide earthquakes on my computer programs. And what they call the Pacific Ring, which is all up the western coast of North and South America, around the Alaskan islands out towards Asia and down the Asia coast to the Philippines. This has been for many, many years the most active of volcanoes. But they're not the only ones, and it's not unusual to see a 5.4 or 5 in those areas. Sixes are not unheard of. I haven't seen a 7 there for some time, but this one was this morning was on that Pacific Ring. It also goes on up. I mean, the earthquakes go on up through the Red Sea and into I can't get it off the end of my tongue. the countries surrounding Israel there. They have had some pretty severe ones in there. But in all, we see the many prophecies of the scriptures being fulfilled today. We have an isolated sister, Cindy Camacho, who lives in Brooklyn, I believe it's Brooklyn, either Brooklyn or Bronx, somewhere down in that particular area, that is the only member of the church in that particular area, and she's very concerned with her family. Her father, her husband is an alcoholic, and she's the only provider in the family, and she just had to go to Denver, bring her daughter back to New York, and then this great hurricane coming in. I know that she is in great stress, both mentally and physically and spiritually. And I only mentioned this in connection with our sermon this evening is evidence that the scriptures are true, that it will be a day of reckoning, a day of concern, a great of turmoil, both physically and mentally and spiritually. She desires with all her heart to serve the Lord. We've visited with her two or three times in New York. She usually comes up to the New York reunion. The Tarbells provide for her transportation and her stay there. And she has had two or three discussions and counselings with me. She is in an area where there doesn't seem to be much religion. And we have many of our people that are like this. And this is the point I want to bring out, that we need to keep in remembrance always. Not necessarily by name, but by category, by the problems that the world faces today. And so I want to begin this evening, and if you'll note the little black letters down there is the page in the Book of Mormon. And just for interest, the one in the square brackets is the date which this writing of Nephi was written. It also happens to be his very last chapter, the 15th chapter of 2 Nephi. And it was at the close of his life. And so I want to read this. I may stop and comment on a place or two, but primarily we'll just read through it. And now I, Nephi, cannot write all the things which were taught among my people. Neither am I mighty in writing, like unto speaking. For where a man speaketh by the power of the Holy Ghost, the power of the Holy Ghost carrieth it unto the hearts of the children of men. And I hope his words come to your heart as they have to mine as we continue to read. But behold, there are many that harden their hearts against the Holy Spirit, that it has no place in them. Wherefore they cast many things away which are written and esteemed them as things of naught. And you know, that's the way the world sees the Book of Mormon. They don't even want to open it to see whether the things that are said about it are true or not. They would rather hear what someone else who also hasn't read it has in their prejudice categorized it as a thing of naught, a lie, a facsimile. And we know that this is not true. Going on. But I, Nephi, have written what I have written, and I esteem it as of great worth, and especially unto my people, and especially unto this people, our people, the restored restoration in these last days. For I pray constantly for them by day, and mine eyes water my pillow by night because of them. And I cry unto my God in faith, and I know that he will hear my cry. Oh, how I wish that last part was true of the prayers I offer for my three children and their families who have departed from the gospel and followed a way that is not of God. And I know that he will hear my cry. And I know he does hear mine. But they must hear. They must answer. And I know that the Lord God will consecrate my prayers for the gain of my people. And the words which I, and you are my people. Not just you in this room, but each of those who have named the name of Jesus Christ and have taken upon them his name and have carried it with the respect, or at least endeavored to, that is doing for the gain of my people. And the words which I have written in weakness will he make strong unto them. For it persuadeth them to do good. It maketh known unto them of their fathers, and it speaketh of Jesus, and persuadeth them to believe in him, and to endure to the end, which is life eternal. And it speaketh harsh things against sin, according to the plainness of the truth. Wherefore no man will be angry at the words which I have written, save he that shall be of the spirit of the devil. And I believe this is true of not only Nephi's words, but of all the scripture in both books, and wherever else the Lord speaks unto his people. I glory in plainness. I glory in truth. I glory in my Jesus, for he hath redeemed my soul from hell. I pray that's true of me and of each of you. I have charity for my people and great faith in Christ, that I shall meet many souls spotless at the judgment seat. Oh, well, I hope that I can stand straight at that day with the many who have gone before me, who will come after. I have charity for the Jew. I say Jew because I mean them from which I came. I also have charity for the Gentiles. But behold, for none of these can I hope, except they shall be reconciled unto Christ. You know, it doesn't matter whether we're Jew or Gentile or of whatever race we may profess to be from. That's the only way that we have hope, is in being reconciled unto Christ. And enter into the narrow gate and walk in the straight path which leads to life, and continue in the path until the end of the day of probation. And that's the subject of our discourse this evening, the day of our probation. We are in that day. Every soul that has walked the earth was in that day. And the end comes quicker for some than others, but each of them will stand before that judgment bar to be judged of Jesus Christ and convicted by our Lord, by our God. And now, my beloved brethren, and also Jews, and all ye ends of the earth, hearken unto these words and believe in Christ. And if ye believe not in these words, believe in Christ. And if ye shall believe in Christ, ye will believe in these words. You know, that's the way the Jews, the Hebrews, write. They say something, and then they'll say it again and in a little different way. And usually it's kind of reversed, but it still means the same thing. For they are the words of Christ, and he hath given them unto me, and they teach all men that they should do good. And if they are not the words of Christ, judge ye. And that is true of each one of us. We each one have that individual, personal, private responsibility and decision to make. I can't make it for you. You can't make it for me. Your mother can't make it for you. Your father can't make it for you. Your children can't make it for you. It is your each individual, personal, private decision to believe or to reject the gospel of Jesus Christ. So he says, judge ye. For Christ will show unto you with power and great glory that they are his words at the last day. And you know, every day, every hour, virtually every moment is the last day for someone on this earth. Your time's coming just like mine is coming. Mine may be sooner, but it matters not, because it is the last day of this life that counts. There is no second chance. There is no second judgment. There's no appeal when we stand before God's judgment bar and he passes judgment. There is no appeal for any of us at any time, at any place. They are his words at the last day. And you and I shall stand face to face before his bar. And ye shall know, and this is Nephi's words, he's speaking, not me, although I agree with him. And I shall stand face to face before his bar, and ye shall know that I have been commanded of him to write these things, notwithstanding my weakness. And you know, we're all weak, each and every one of us. Compared to the power of God, we are indeed less than the dust of the earth. Look at the great, in our eyes, great hurricane approaching New York. How much dust, how much sand, how much water is being thrown at you and I can't do. We couldn't begin to. But it's like the snap of the finger for God. He could destroy the whole universe just by saying vanish, or whatever word he chooses to use. And I pray the Father in the name of Christ that many of us, if not all, may be saved in his kingdom at that great last day. And again, that term is used, that great last day, that day of probation, that day of reckoning. And now, my beloved brethren, all those who are of the house of Israel, and all ye of the earth, I speak unto you as the voice of one crying from the dust. These are his closing. I'll go back here. Yes, well. His closing words shall come. And you that will not partake of the goodness of God and respect the words of the Jews and also my words and the words which shall proceed forth out of the mouth of the Lamb of God, behold, I bid you an everlasting farewell. For these words will condemn you at the last day. Now, he's speaking to those who reject Christ, not those who accept him. For what I seal on earth shall be brought against you at the judgment bar. For thus hath the Lord commanded me, and I must obey. Amen. And those are Nephi's last writings, very last words that he recorded, according to his own words. And he speaks to his people of that great and dreadful day to many, that great and joyous day to those who have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it is each of our opportunities, our responsibilities, to make that choice in whatever time he allots us. Back in the days of the apostles, his establishing of his kingdom here upon the earth the first time, he allotted man 70 years, or 70 years, that's 70 years. Many of us are past that now, quite a number in this room. He's extending those days, and we need to take advantage of that extension. We must continually review our life, our action, our thoughts, our hopes, our desires, to assure that they are in harmony with the gospel of Jesus Christ, his commandments, the things that he has given to us as instruction and direction, as teaching, that we might obtain eternal life. And we are, as I have said, and scriptures have said many times, in that last day that is scriptures appointed to. And as we review those prophecies and recording of history of recorded in the scriptures of what the people did in regard to those prophecies, we've seen over and over again the judgments of God pouring out against the people. He destroyed Israel. He destroyed the Nephites and the Lamanites upon this land for disobedience. Each time they repented, he restored them. You know, it's amazing to me, and yet it is human to us all, that when things go bad, we look to the Lord. We need His help. We humble ourselves. But when things are good, we don't need Him. We can do everything for ourselves. And that's why, and that's human nature. That's the carnal man within us. And we've seen it in history over and over. We've seen it probably in our own lives, those of us who have lived very long. I have seen it in mine. We see blessings and, I forget them. Until He brings me back up short. And I'm thankful for those times. Not the times that I've fallen away, but for the times He brings me up short. And I'm thankful that He at least sees enough in me to continue to work with me in that way, because I do truly desire to serve Him with all my heart, mind, and soul. So now we go to Hosea, page 219. And Hosea wrote this chapter in 124 BC. That was a little over 400 years after Nephi wrote. And the Book of Mormon gives us a number of highs and lows of spirituality between the two. And now Mosiah speaks to his people in the second chapter. And now it came to pass that when King Benjamin, or King Benjamin, actually Mosiah is recording it, had made an end of speaking the words which had been delivered unto him by the angel of the Lord, that he cast his eyes round about on the multitude, and beheld they had fallen to the earth for the fear of the Lord had come upon them. What do you think would be our attitude if Christ walked in that back door, or that foyer door right now? Would we stand and say, oh Lord, I've been obedient to all your commandments? No, I'm afraid that we would fall to our knees, at least I hope we would, as they did in this instance. And if we only heard the, and I say only because an angel is less than Christ. If an angel delivered the word of Christ, God, coming through that door, I hope we would also fall as they did. But this is the result, the desired result that God has for us when we hear and truly receive. And when I say receive, I mean believe, accept, understand our nothingness before Him. And that's what He wants of us, to acknowledge our nothingness and His greatness, because it's true. We'll go on. And they had viewed themselves in their own carnal state, even less than the dust of the earth. And they cried aloud with one voice, saying, Oh, have mercy, and apply the atoning blood of Christ, that we may receive forgiveness of our sins, and our hearts may be purified. For we believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who created heaven and earth and all things, who shall come down among the children of men. That's down among you and me someday. Hopefully to our joy, but it could be for our damnation. And it came that after they had spoken these words, the Spirit of the Lord came upon them, and they were filled with joy. How great will be our joy. I hope each and every one of us will have that same joy that they experienced once they understood and repented of their wrongdoing. Having received a remission of their sins and having peace of conscience because of the exceeding faith which they had in Jesus Christ, who should come, according to the words which King Benjamin had spoken unto them. And King Benjamin began again to open his mouth, began to speak unto them, saying, My friends and my brethren, my kindred and my people, I would again call your attention that ye may hear and understand the remainder of my words, which I shall speak unto you. For behold, that if the knowledge of the goodness of God at this time hath awakened you to a sense of your nothingness, and I hope it has with you, it certainly has with me, as I read these things, as I study the scriptures, I realize how powerful God is in comparison to me, that indeed I am less than the dust of the earth. He doesn't need me for anything. He doesn't need any one of us for anything. He gives us this opportunity that we might gain eternal life, because without it, we will not have it. We will have everlasting damnation and a second death, but not of the type that we ordinarily think of death. It'll be a separation from the Spirit of God completely out of his presence and away from all that is good, and we'll be left to our evil ways. But if we awaken to our condition and repent and come unto him, our lot will be different. And we'll go on to that thing. And I say unto you, if you have come to a knowledge of the goodness of God and his matchless power and his wisdom and his long suffering towards the children of men, and also the atonement which has been prepared from the foundation of the world, that thereby salvation might come to him that should put his trust in the Lord. Oh, yes. Put our trust in the Lord. What a simple little statement, and yet how difficult Satan makes it for us if we don't put our all in the hands of the Lord. Put his trust in the Lord and should be diligent in keeping his commandments and continue in the faith even unto the end of his life. I mean the life of the mortal body. I say that this man who receiveth salvation through the atonement which was prepared from the foundation of the world for all mankind, whichever were ever since the fall of Adam, or which are, or which ever shall be, even unto the end of the world. And this is the means whereby salvation cometh. And there is none other salvation, no other way to be saved except through the obedience, the commandments of God, through his Son, Jesus Christ. And there's none other salvation save this which hath been spoken of. Neither are there any conditions whereby man can be saved except the conditions which I've told you. And he had expounded exceedingly more than what I have read this evening. And he meant all of them. Going on, believe in God, believe that he is, and that he created all things. There's nothing he didn't create. Man thinks that he created, he discovered, he did all this. He did nothing. God did it. He gave man the understanding enough to do a few of the things that he does without hardly thinking, probably, but that are of great wonder to us. Believe in God, believe that he is, and that he created all things, both in heaven and on earth. Believe that he has all wisdom. Oh, we think we're smart. We don't know anything. Believe that he has all wisdom and power, both in heaven and on earth. Believe that man doth not comprehend all things which the Lord can comprehend. Do we believe that? We should. We absolutely, positively should. And again, believe that you must repent of your sins and forsake them and humble yourselves before God. Ask in sincerity of heart that he would forgive you. And now, if you believe all these things, see that you do them. We believe a lot of things sometimes, but we don't do them. We don't follow them. We believe in the scriptures, but we only follow the ones we like. That's not going to get us there. Not going to get us there. We have to follow all of them that we hear and understand. And we're not going to be able to stand there before that judgment bar and say, I didn't know that's what you meant. If we didn't know that's what he meant, we should have asked. Because he gives freely, and he upbraideth not. Upbraideth means that he doesn't try to make it hard or difficult or any of those things. He makes it plain. He makes it simple for each of us. A child can understand. And when we think we're so smart, we don't think like a child anymore. That's one of our great problems. We need to think like our little children. It's heartening. It's joyful to see our little children down there during the luncheons. Some of the things they'll say absolutely amaze you. Absolutely amaze you. They understand a whole lot more than you and I think they do. They're hearing a whole lot more than you and I think they're hearing. We think they're only interested in that ball they're kicking down the hall or getting under our feet. But they're hearing what we say. And they understand whether it's good or bad also. But if they hear it often enough and it's bad, they have a tendency to accept it. That is our responsibility. That's on us, not them. When they reach that stage of accountability, then yes, it's theirs, but it's also yours that they're there, where they were on the edge to fall off. We must remember that. There is more to this sermon, but since Dan called me and I'm going to be speaking in a couple of weeks, we'll finish the sermon then, God willing, and I'm still able to stand here. But I want us all to understand, and me too. You know, it's amazing, and yet it's beneficial, productive, that even though we study the scriptures, when we study for a sermon, there's certain understandings that come to us, especially of our weaknesses and things that we need to change. And so, this is an introduction to the day of our probation. And God willing, and Dan don't change his mind, we'll give the rest of it then. May God bless each of you.
Thank you, Brother Pritchard. No, I won't change my mind. The calendar's